Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Timothy Carr, the Senior Director of Strategy for Free Press. Previously, he served as Executive Director of MediaChannel.org and Vice President of Global Vision New Media. He's also worked extensively as an editor, reporter, and photojournalist for the Associated Press, Time, the New York Times, and the Australian Consolidated Press. He critiques, analyzes, and reports on media and media policy for the Huffington Post and on his personal blog, Media Citizen. Welcome to Background Briefing, Timothy Carr.
Thank you, Ian.
And Senator Ted Cruz is blocking the FCC nominee chair, Tom Wheeler, and he's putting a hold on this. So this is both freezing Wheeler, and this is already a somewhat crippled FCC with only three of the five commissioners seated already. So what's Cruz's motives here?
Well, that's right. I mean, the FCC is down to three commissioners. The nomination process has, as you mentioned, been held up. I think this is a purely political ploy by Senator Ted Cruz, who has his own political ambitions looking forward to 2016, and he has two targets here that are very popular targets amongst his supporters on the right. One is the FCC. A lot of those on the right think the FCC has too much authority over communications in the United States, and so he's going after the FCC on the one hand, and the other one is the issue of political disclosure. The FCC has mandated that television stations provide information on who funds the political ads that they air. This is nothing new. It's something they've done for quite some time, although they have recently moved to make that information more available to the public. And Senator Cruz apparently objects to the idea that we have the right to know who funds all of these political ads that come around every 2 years, and especially during presidential elections.
And these are the ads from front groups like the Koch brothers, Freedom Works, and other things like that, right?
Yeah, these groups oftentimes, and individuals oftentimes, provide money to these new super PACs and independent groups that are not required to disclose their funders. And this is particularly true amongst the independent groups that really rose to prominence in 2012. When we saw more than $3 billion being spent on political advertising on television. And a lot of these very wealthy individuals and funders like to give money to political causes in anonymity. And the FCC has long had the authority to require disclosure, sponsorship disclosure, in all sorts of advertising. And it doesn't matter, you know, if you're advertising for a product or, as the case may be, a politician. And Ted Cruz is trying to forestall the process of this new chair, Tom Wheeler, in order to extract a pledge from Wheeler that he will not continue to pursue more disclosure of political advertising.
So how can Cruz justify this? I mean, this is a man that is capable of breathtaking cynicism. You know, he grandstanded with Sarah Palin at the World War II Memorial in Washington when he was the reason that it was shut down in the first place. And he stood on the steps in Washington as the federal workers came back to work and welcomed them back. And when he was the guy that was responsible for them being furloughed in the first place. So what kind of excuse does he have? How is he dressing this up?
Well, I think that he has it's part of a very deliberate strategy looking towards 2016, where I think Cruz wants to win the favor of the more extreme wing of the Republican Party. And he has a very deliberate strategy to go after very popular targets of that wing. Some people call it the Tea Party wing of the Republican Party, and the FCC is frequently been mentioned as a target. So I think he's taking a number of high-profile steps that will position him as the leader of that constituency. And going after the FCC and going after political ad disclosure, in his calculation, is something that will win him favor. Now, I'm not so sure, because I've looked at polling from across the political spectrum, where people, doesn't matter whether you're a progressive or a member of the Tea Party, think that political transparency is a good thing, that we as citizens have a right to know where all this money is coming from. So it may be that he's just doing a favor towards these high-profile political funders. Actually, I should say they're low-profile political funders, like the Koch brothers, who want to give money to political candidates and not have the record of those political contributions be exposed to the public.
Again, I'm speaking with Timothy Carr, Senior Director of Strategy for Free Press, previously served as Executive Director of MediaChannel.org and Vice President of Global Vision New Media. He's also worked extensively as an editor, reporter, and photojournalist for the Associated Press, Time, the New York Times, and the Australian Consolidated Press. He critiques, analyzes, and reports on media and media policy for the Huffington Post and on his personal blog, Media Citizen. So it would seem to me that the latter explanation makes perfect sense. In fact, I don't see any other explanation. I don't know what the ideological problem with the FCC would be. What Cruz wants, and it's clear, is he wants unlimited and unattributed funds from the Koch brothers and people like that. And he's just, you know, a whore and a hireling for these oligarchs. I can't see any other explanation.
Well, I think that there is this overarching Republican strategy to win elections, which involves not only disenfranchising low-income voters or voters from communities of color, but it also involves unleashing a lot of the money from the wealthier class of individuals, who many of whom tend to vote Republican. And this is a part of that strategy. Not only do you unleash the money by kicking out the stops to financial contributions to political campaigns, but you also allow these contributions to be made in obscurity. And the Federal Communications Commission actually has a way of sort of getting around the Citizens United rulings and some of the rulings that have allowed for all of this money to flood the political system, and that is through transparency. The FCC has a clear legal precedent that allows it to demand that the television stations that air these ads disclose the names of the primary funders and some of the individuals who run those organizations. So they see this as a threat. Ted Cruz sees this as a very prominent threat to this larger strategy to lock in Republican control of politics.
Well, here in the state of California, you know, for the longest time we've had a dysfunctional government and government via referendums and what they call propositions. And some of them are incredibly mendacious. And it's really important to know who's funding these propositions, because then you know whose interest is being served. And they always couch themselves as, you know, champions of consumers and of citizens. But then at the bottom, you know, you read that it's from Chevron Oil Company or from a big insurance company. And that is really helpful in understanding whose agenda is being served here. So I just find this whole thing so breathtaking and brazen that this one junior senator who's already, you know, wrecked the government, caused a shutdown and threatened to tank the economy, his next move out of the gate is basically to paralyze the FCC unless the new chairman, who frankly most people thought was pretty pro-corporate because he comes out of that world, get him to pledge that he's not going to use the FCC to do what it's supposed to do and what it's entitled to do, which is to allow American citizens and voters to know who's funding the television ads. So I guess my basic question, Tim Carr, is where's the outrage?
Well, the outrage is we're finding that there's outrage out there. I think the problem is that people are just getting over this long shutdown. And we're somewhat weary of government. We're weary of Congress. And you know, he pivoted almost immediately towards the FCC. And I think as more people become aware, the more people are speaking out. And my organization, Free Presses, has launched an action against Senator Cruz. And we only rolled it out earlier this week. And we found a very strong response among the people who received it. So as more people know about this thing, and the more people are willing to speak out. And one of the things that people need to know is that there is a majority in the Senate, apparently, that does support the nomination of Wheeler that Cruz is a single person who's standing against a political process for putting these appointees in place. And there are people on both sides of the aisle that support the nomination of Wheeler as the next FCC chair. And so, it's just a question of putting pressure on Cruz and continuing to push to get him to back down.
Well, that may not work. I mean, this guy has got more chutzpah than anybody that I've ever seen in politics, and I don't think he cares. The fact that he's going to the mat for billionaires, which is what he's really doing, so that they'll fund his presidential campaign, it's all very clear and very cynical. He did that faux filibuster on the floor of the Senate, essentially using the floor of the United States Senate as a fundraising platform. That's who he is, and, you know, he's doing what he does. Can't the Senate take a vote? If they get 60 votes, they can work around this hold, can't they?
It's not my understanding of how these holds work. The holds are actually a courtesy that's extended to a member of the Senate who wants to hold up the process. I think what needs to happen and what the New York Times editorialized on Thursday is that people need to contact Republican members of the Senate, those who have shown support for the process and support for this nomination, and get them to put pressure on Senator Cruz to lift this hold so that we can get the FCC back to work. I mean, there are a lot of important items on the agenda at the FCC, including, you know, how we plan to use our spectrum for wireless internet access. So there's a lot of things on their docket that they haven't been able to work on because they do not have a full commission.
So again, if that's the best strategy that the New York Times editorial is suggesting, which is citizens to contact Republican senators and urge them to urge Cruz to stop doing what he's doing, it doesn't give me a lot of comfort here because, again, he seems such a brazen character. And he more or less has come into town saying that, you know, you guys are the establishment and I'm the revolution, you know. So that's it then. We just got to hope that somehow his colleagues can weigh in and persuade him. Good luck.
I think from that perspective, it does look bleak, and we think that we can continue to put public pressure on him. I mean, when you have high-profile publications like the New York Times being very critical of Cruz, when you have members on both sides of the aisle speaking out, I think that we may be able to move this. I mean, it's unfortunate, indeed. It's unfortunate this guy has acted like a bull in the china shop.
Well, but I would think, surely, Tim, though, having the New York Times criticize you to Cruz and his backers in Texas, that's a badge of honor, isn't it?
It probably is. I'm sure that he's looking at that with some disdain. But I think political pressure does work, and we just need to continue to raise the profile of this issue and to try to, in many ways, shame him into backing down.
Right. Shame the shameless. Well, let's talk about other issues before this somewhat crippled FCC that only has three of its five commissioners, and Cruz is holding up the chair, Tom Wheeler, who comes out of the telecom industry, right? He's a former lobbyist, isn't he?
He is a former lobbyist for wireless and cable. He has spent more time working on behalf of the industry than he has on behalf of the public interest. And, you know, we at Free Press have raised legitimate concerns about his own political pedigree. But we think that, you know, what Cruz is doing, holding up the process in this way, is not helpful.
But before the FCC's, I mean, you know, Cruz is trying to stop them from enforcing their right to disclose who is paying for television ads in political campaigns. And we just got through a $7.5 billion campaign in 2012 with enormous amounts of money. Most of Americans get their political information from television and from television ads. So that is the arena in which politics are decided. So clearly, the person who has the most money and can buy the most airtime has an enormous advantage. So it's really clear what's going on here. But the other aspect of the FCC that's being challenged is, of course, in this Second Circuit, the D.C. Second Circuit Court, the important court of appeals that's just below the Supreme Court, and Verizon has sued the FCC for overstepping its legal authority in terms of what's called net neutrality or enforcing open internet rules. So, you know, the FCC is getting slammed in all directions here. We don't know where that stands, but what's your expectation on that important ruling on the Verizon case?
Well, we heard oral arguments on that last month. Verizon's legal counsel went before that court and said basically they want to do away with the open internet order, which prevents the kind of online discrimination, prevents internet service providers like from Verizon from picking and choosing what sort of content you get to see every time you go online. They want to get rid of that so they can start to turn the internet into this kind of more like a cable television model where you have to pay for tiers of service and tiers of access to content, and something, of course, we object to vociferously. The arguments went before the court, and we'll probably hear from them before the end of this year on a decision. It looks likely that they might strike down the FCC's authority to protect internet consumers, to protect an open internet, and what the FCC will then have to do, and there's obviously some question as to whether they'll have a full FCC or not, is decide how to reassert that authority. And we've asked them to reclassify their authority over the internet, something that they can do under the 1996 Telecommunications Act that gives them broader authority to protect, or essentially protect free speech on the internet, allow us to not only share information that we want to, but to go to the sites that we choose, rather than having an intermediary or a gatekeeper in the form of an ISP that wants us to use certain services and businesses in favor of others. So this is, you know, we're waiting for the final decision to come down in a couple of months, at which point the FCC will have to make some pretty important decisions about whether or not it is truly a consumer watchdog for the internet.
Well, my understanding is that the three-judge panel, Judge Silberman, of course, who's an arch-conservative, was on it, but the other two were Democratic appointees, weren't they, that heard the case?
They were, although our understanding is that it'll probably go to a 2-to-1 vote in favor of Verizon's argument with some nuance in that they may strike down certain parts of the open internet rule, which is being sued right now, which is being challenged right now, while keeping other aspects of it. We don't know for certain, but you can tell from having listened to the arguments and the questions that the justices put forth, the judges put forth, that where they're leaning on this issue.
Well, it will have a profound effect. Net neutrality is a very inadequate term to describe what's at stake here, but the internet is the last avenue of free speech and free information for most citizens, and if that gets corporatized and they put toll booths and fast forward their junk rather than allow you to get what you want, it's going to really, I think, be one of the biggest blows to free speech and communication that I can think of.
Yeah, and this is ultimately about who and control. It's about who will control the future of communications. And if you look at other mediums like television and radio, you see this process by which corporations, through very aggressive lobbying and through very, very aggressive patronage, have gained control over those other mediums. And the internet is different in its the way it's structured. It's structured in a way that allows for participation across millions of users, and it allows us to share information with one another without an intermediary, without a gatekeeper. That basic structure of the internet is what makes it open, makes it very democratic in nature, and they want to really overhaul that in a way that allows them to make those decisions and take that control away from internet users.
So instead of it being a bottom-up deal, they want a top-down deal like they already control the rest of corporate media, and this is the last bit that they don't control. And God help.
This is where they see their growth margins.
Exactly. God help us. Well, thank you so much, Timothy Carr.
You're welcome.
Again, I've been speaking with Timothy Carr, the Senior Director of Strategy for Free Press. Previously, he served as Executive Director of MediaChannel.org and Vice President of Global Vision New Media. He's also worked extensively as an editor, reporter, and photojournalist for the Associated Press, Time, the New York Times, and the Australian Consolidated Press. He critiques, analyzes, and reports on media and media policy for the Huffington Post and on his personal blog, Media Citizen. We're going to take a brief station break. We're back talking about outrage in Mexico over the NSA spying on the current and former presidents of Mexico.